Genesis chapter 7. Thank you for being in your place this morning. We're going to continue in our series on the ark. I came across this. I thought this was interesting, and it's life lessons that we can learn from the ark. And I thought this was pretty good. Number one, it says, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Number two, stay fit when you're 400. When you're 480 years old, someone might ask you to do something really big. That's how old Noah was when he started building. 400, okay. Number three, don't listen to critics. Do what has to be done. That's good, isn't it? Number four, build on high ground. Number five, for safety's sake, travel in pairs. Number six, two heads are better than one. Well, that's true. Number seven, speed isn't always an advantage. The cheetahs were on board, but so were the snails. Okay, this is going over really big. Number seven, don't forget that we're all in the same boat. Number eight, remember the ark was built by amateurs and the Titanic was built by professionals. And last one, it says, remember that the woodpeckers on the inside are often a bigger threat than the storm on the outside. I don't understand that one. All right. Genesis chapter 7, and let's look at verse 1, if you will. And we're going to read just a good portion of chapter 7. We dealt mostly with chapter 6 last week, and I had a couple people come, and obviously we're not saying you ought to do this, obviously, but I had a couple people that said that they saw this new movie about the ark that came out, and they said that it was so unbiblical that it wasn't funny, and it's all about entertainment. But I think it's good at this time that we know the truth of God's word, and you don't believe everything you see, and you don't believe everything you read, and you don't believe everything you hear. If you ever have a question about anything, go to God's word. And I don't think that they were making a movie to try to, unless they say they are trying to represent the Bible, they're just trying to make money. But today, we're not interested in making money. We just want to give you the gospel that is portrayed through Noah and the ark. So we're going to begin in chapter 7 today. Look at verse 1, if you would. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beast that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Now, I don't know all this, but we believe when he talks about birds here that they brought in seven instead of just two. And we kind of believe that he brought that so that they would fly to each of the seven continents to keep those alive. Now, you would say, why did he bring seven of a kind of clean beast and two of a kind of unclean beast? Well, they had to have something to eat on the ark. So they brought the extra clean beast so that they could survive and eat on the ark. Don't know if you ever thought about that. I think y'all were thinking I was joking. You're so used to me being funny. Okay, no, I'm serious about that. It was so that they had something to eat on the ark. Okay, notice if you would, verse 4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. Noah was 600 years old when he finished, and obviously when the floods of the waters had stopped. And so Noah was 480 years old when God asked him to build the ark. Now check just about any movie or anything you want to see, and they never have a 480-year-old looking man portraying Noah. I don't know how you would portray a 480-year-old man. None of us know what that looks like, but it probably would look pretty bad, okay? But he was 480. It took him 120 years to build the ark. Notice, if you would, verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. They're all married. Sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beast and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. I don't know about you, but when you started loading up snakes, I might have rethought this whole thing of obeying God. Verse 9, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all of the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. They said, obviously, because of our storm system, that literally the very foundations of the earth, God had to move and to shake and to move, and it literally changed the entire, what we would call geological representation of the earth. The land was never the same. Probably there were not necessarily just seven continents at that time. Who knows what the earth looked like, but everything was changed, and then also the heavens were opened. So we had the shifting, all the waters of the earth began to become in turmoil. We're talking typhoons, we're talking all these things, and then you have rain coming from the heaven that had never fallen yet at that time. Look at verse 13. In the self same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. Verse 16. And they that went in, and went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Lord, we need you this morning as we try to rightly divide your word. Please, Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say this. The Bible is a book of invitations. Now think about that phrase. The Bible is a book of invitations. Beginning here and continuing to the very last verses of Revelation, God is always, has always, and will always be involved in inviting people to come to Him. Amen. I'm letting you know this morning, if you've never been saved, He is inviting you today. He always invites you to come to Him for salvation, for the help that you need, and for the things that you lack. Just like everyone alive was invited to come to the ark would have everything that was needed to survive. Every need would have been met. Everybody was invited. And today I'm here to tell you, Jesus, obviously the ark is a picture of Christ, and Jesus is inviting you. He will fulfill every need that you have. He will fill up everything that you lack, and you will be safe against the judgment that is to come. This ark provided safety for the judgment of water that was coming because of sin. Christ provides you safety because of the judgment of fire that will be coming because of sin. Amen. It's a book of invitation, and He's inviting you. What is interesting, in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, it is the first time that it is used as a command and as an invitation. Look at verse 1. And the Lord God said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, an invitation. And we find this as the first invitation, and it's going on till this very day when Christ is still handing out invitations. Let him that will come. Even though this is obviously, this command was given thousands of years ago, God is still inviting people to enter the ark. I want to give you some facts about the ark before we jump into some information today. And these are just some facts that some of you, as we look in what the Bible has to say, you have some questions. And maybe over the next two or three weeks, I think we'll probably be two more weeks after this, we'll be done just a four-week series on the ark. But maybe there's some questions, and I might not be able to answer all of them. But let me just give you a couple of facts, and I just mentioned this earlier. It took 120 years to build the ark. If you think about this, the people had 120 years to receive the invitation. That's long enough. And there might be one day you might say, you know what? I just didn't have enough time to accept Christ. I didn't have enough time to think about it. Dear friend, I'm here to tell you, this is all the time you need. He died on the cross for you. You're welcome to come if you will. You've got all the time you need. You don't need any more time than this. I'm here to tell you, when he comes and the last chance is given and no one will be able to be saved after that point, you can't say you didn't have enough time. You did. I want you to notice this, that Noah and the family and the animals sat in the ark 7 days before the first drop of rain. Imagine how they looked to the people. Now, obviously we know that Noah and his family were ridiculed and they were made fun of. And here's a man 480 years old building a boat that's going to float when the earth is flooded and they've never seen rain. So that's all very strange anyway. Then it takes him 120 years to build the ark. And so that's got to be strange. And then when he cries that this is the last chance, the Bible says once all the animals and the family came in, guess what? The Bible says God sealed and shut them in. And then nothing happened. Do you think that Noah began to think, They sat there 7 days. Now, I know people. Because I know when Carolina loses, Duke fans come out of the woodwork. You can't find them when we beat them. They don't say nothing. How'd you get that in this morning? I know what happened. As Noah and his family were on that ark, I guarantee you people begin to walk around there ridiculing. I guarantee you people begin to walk around there, oh yeah, you got it all built. Good job, Noah. Oh, that water's coming down from the sky like you said God was going to do. Oh, you're real smart, Noah. You could just see them sitting in that boat, that ark, and just sitting in there probably hearing people ridiculing, people showing up just about every day. Oh yeah, making fun. But when that first drop of rain began to fall, they sure were glad they're in that ark. I'll tell you something, folks, you can put up with ridicule here on earth, but there's coming a day when that trumpet sounds. They won't be making fun then. But that door's been shut. Dear friend, you can get on any TV program, any comedy TV, watch up just about any stand-up comedian, and they do nothing but ridicule God, church, Christians, anything to do with it. We're the laughing stock of America, but I'm here to tell you one day, they will not be making fun. The length to width to height ratio, by the way, of the ark was 300 to 50 to 30. That means the ratio from length to width to height, and we gave you the measurements of the ark last year, is in math terms, it's a ratio of 300 to 50 to 30. By the way, it is the exact ratio that shipbuilders use today when they build ships. Interesting thought, isn't it? They find that this is the best ratio in shipbuilding to survive in stormy weather. And here's just an old guy, Noah, taking directions from God. I noticed this, that there are two accounts of the number of animals. And I shared this with you. Genesis 6:19 tells that there was male and female of every kind. And chapter 7, verse 2 to 3 says that there were seven pairs, male and female, of clean animals, and only one pair of unclean animals. And we believe, obviously, that this was for food. But let me tell you also what it was for. Now, obviously, they were in the ark for, quite a period of time. We're going to share that later on. But not only did they have animals to eat, but they had animals to what? Sacrifice. They had church on the ark. Amen. Amen. Say, well, how do you know that? Well, I'm going to prove some other things to you later on. I don't know if it's today or next week, but it's very, very interesting. They had these clean animals because they had to have something to sacrifice. Because Christ always, you know, of course, God put in his law, he wanted a clean lamb, a clean animal to sacrifice. And they had these on there because even in the midst of the safety of the ark, they were still worshiping God. Listen to me, dear friend, just because you've been saved and now you are in the safety of the ark does not mean now you can sit back and do nothing. Wow, that's good, isn't it? Amen, preacher, that's really good. Noah's Ark was 450 feet long. The Mayflower was 90 feet long. Just to kind of give you a comparison. Noah was 480 years old when he began to build the ark. Listen to this. Noah did not have any children during the first 20 years of building the ark. All his children were born after he had started building the ark. That means not only did he take on a very big building project at 480, then he decided to have kids. Real smart. According to the Hebrew calendar, the ark voyage started. Everybody says, what time of the year did this? According to the Hebrew calendar, the ark would have begun and this floods would have begun at the end of our November. Been a nice warm time of the year. For this, we find that the top 3,000 feet of Mount Everest is made up, by the way, and the geologists have been up there, the top 3,000 feet of Mount Everest is made up of sedimentary rock packed with seashells and other ocean-dwelling animals. How would they get up there? Sedimentary rock is found all over the world, and that's the rock that is formed in water. Petrified clams in the closed position, and you, many of you men would understand that, they're found all over the world, and they testify to rapid burial. And we have found some, obviously, that they were buried, they had to be while they were still alive, and they have found them on top of Mount Everest. Folks, when they had this flood, it was nasty. But that's nothing compared to the judgment that is to come. I want you to notice a couple things if you're keeping notes this morning. I want you to notice, number one, the sanctuary surrounding the ark. Now, for sake of some that might be new here this morning, there's a few things I'm going to share that I shared last week. I'm going to go through these very quickly. But I want everybody, if somebody has just come today, I want them to get the entire picture as we show how the ark pictures salvation. Remember, the good old gospel ship is what we're talking about, the ark. It's a picture of salvation by grace through faith in Christ, okay? Number one, I want you to notice the sanctuary surrounding the ark. Notice verse 1 of chapter 7. Bible, Noah, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Why? Because I have seen thee as righteous in this generation. Now, the ark must have been a very unusual sight as it sat there in what we call ancient Mesopotamia. Now, it was a wooden box, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. And it was built by a preacher and his three sons. Now, 120 years Noah had worked, and I'm sure that people literally thought that he was mad. His neighbors probably thought that Noah was insane, and the ark he constructed must have looked very much out of place sitting there. It would look like a coffin, and we talked about that last week. But the reason that Noah built this ark is because it was to be a sanctuary against the storm of wrath. Why? Had it gotten so bad that God was ready to start all over. In fact, the Bible says that he was going to wipe out all of mankind. But somehow Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now listen to me. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, we find that there was intermarriage between the godly line of Seth and the ungodly offspring of Cain. We all know the story of Cain and Abel. And of course, Seth was another son of Adam. And we know how Cain murdered his brother and he was cursed from that point on. But we find in Genesis chapter 6 in these first verses that the godly line of Seth, they had begun to intermarry with the ungodly line of Cain. And the Bible says that the children born of this union were evil beyond words. And things began to get worse and worse and worse. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, we see that God saw the wickedness of man, and he saw them as hopelessly corrupt. He said, every desire in man led him away to do evil thoughts and evil deeds. It was only evil continually. So God said, I'm just going to have to wipe them out. Verse 11 and 12 of Genesis chapter 6. God looked at man, saw that he had ruined what God had designed. Man was unjust and violent. Man had abandoned the ways of God, and he had turned from God completely. And in chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, God decided that he was going to destroy mankind. That brings us to the point where God saw Noah. The Bible says that God saw that Noah was just. That's why Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now, what does it mean that Noah was just? You'll have individuals that say, well, Noah was a perfect man, and that's why. Listen, Noah was not perfect. He was just. When he was just, it doesn't mean he was sinless. It meant that his faith was in God. And when you put your faith in God, God counts that to you for righteousness. Amen. That's why when you and I get saved and we put our faith in Christ, not only are our sins forgiven, but God sees us as righteous. Noah obviously is commanded to build the ark. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, we are told that Abraham, quote, believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. How did people get saved in the Old Testament? By putting their faith in God. They put their faith in God. And dear friend, you get saved the same way today, by putting your faith in Christ. That was then, this is now. And while the ark was a place of sanctuary for sinful man, today Christ is the place of sanctuary for sinful man. Amen. Let me read this to you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust. He was just, and he was sacrificed, the just, for us, the unjust. You got that? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Who brought up Jesus from the grave? The Spirit. He was put to death in the flesh, and he was raised out of that grave by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Guess who raises us? Amen. The Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why he was put inside of us. Because we will never die, because he will never die. And the moment you and I take our last breath on earth, the Holy Spirit who is in us is resurrected. Amen. Isn't the Bible great? Amen. Listen to this. I'm going to read the next verse. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Did you hear that? We're talking about Jesus being put to death, quickened in the Spirit. The Bible says in verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. What did Jesus do in those 3 days? Look at verse 20. By which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The very thing that wiped out mankind, water, is the very thing that saved those eight souls. the very person that will one day judge mankind for their sin is the very person that will save you from judgment.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Okay, I better move on. I'm just too excited for you this morning. The sanctuary surrounding the ark. First, I want you to notice the substance. We talked about this last week, gopher wood. Gopher wood, obviously, wood is a picture of humanity. Wood had to be cut down in order to build the ark to provide safety. Jesus Christ had to be cut down so that he could provide our salvation. All right? Second, we notice not only its substance, but notice its security, talking about the ark. After the ark was built, it was covered with pitch. We talked about this last week. It's a gooey type substance that they would have sealed the inside and the outside of the ark. Just like the blood covered our sins, that pitch covered the ark. And just like Christ seals us unto the day of redemption, that pitch sealed them from the judgment that was to come. And that is secure. Listen to me. It's not the humanity or the life of Jesus that saves us. It was his death and his shedding of blood.
Amen.
Listen, just because he lived a perfect life, that wasn't what saved us. What saved us was that he lived a perfect life and died and rose again. That's what saved us. This is great. Let me say thirdly, I want you to notice not just its substance and its security, but notice in the ark its size. Obviously, because of its measurements, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, it could literally contain 3 million cubic feet. We talked about this last week, that there's a whole bunch of extra room in the ark. Why was that? Because God built it big enough so that if every person received the ark as sanctuary, that they could have fit. And I'm here to tell you, there's enough grace of God to save every person that comes to him in Christ. He knew there would be some that would reject, but he built it big enough in case they didn't. And God knows that there will probably be some that will reject him, but he died on the cross and provided enough redemption and enough mercy. The Bible said his mercy is everlasting. His mercy cannot be measured. And that means anybody that comes to God, there's room at the cross for you.
Amen.
I want you to notice not just its size, but its shape. We have told you that the ark is not like a regular boat that you would see and oftentimes that we picture as the ark. It would have looked like a floating coffin. This speaks to the fact that Jesus died for us. That coffin is a picture almost of death. Look at me. As that ark floated in the water, literally looking like a coffin, it was a picture of the death of mankind at that time of judgment. And it's also a picture that Christ died in order to save us. That floating coffin is what those people were living on. And God saved mankind, gave another chance for man. You and I have life and breath today because God salvaged mankind by keeping those 8 individuals alive in that picture of death. And because of the death of Christ, you and I will be alive together in heaven forever.
Amen.
Not just its shape, but I want you to notice its structure. The Bible says that the ark had one door, one window, and 3 stories. You say, preacher, what does this mean? These elements obviously are a picture of salvation. The one door, the Bible says, as the ark, that door was low enough so that all could enter. And I'm here to tell you, Christ's love goes low enough to save the worst of sinners. Everybody can get on the ark of Christ. Everybody has access to him by grace through faith. Okay? Now, John 10:9, this is what Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. All right? About the window. The window was so high that all would have to look up. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. In the middle of all this devastation, look at me, folks, the whole point of the picture of the window in the ark was so that Noah and his family would not concentrate on all the junk that was going on around them. The only thing they could look to was where there was nothing going on. Everything is fine in heaven.
Amen.
Dear friend, God says, don't put your affection on the things going on this earth. This is not our final home. You and I should be constantly looking to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, the Bible says. I want you to notice not only that, but the 3 stories of the ark It had a top level, a middle level, and a lower level. The three stories remind us that salvation is a work of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It also reminds us that when a person is saved, their whole person, body, soul, and spirit are changed. Let me read this to you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? All things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new. Look at me, dear friend. Salvation took the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father gave the Son gave Himself, the Holy Spirit raised the Son. It took all three in salvation. Look at me, dear friend. When you get saved, your body, soul, and spirit are all changed. Not just its structure, but I want you to notice its sustenance. Genesis chapter, by the way, there's verses for each of these, just for sake of time. Genesis chapter 6, verse 21, it describes this, listen to me, that Noah was saved by the ship, and he was also satisfied in the ship. Not only getting on the ark kept him safe, but while he was on the ark, he had every need fulfilled. Dear friend, when you got saved, not only were you kept safe now, but you have been satisfied. Every need He will supply. Isn't the ark a wonderful picture of Christ? It just gets me excited. He had everything in the ark he needed to survive the flood. In Jesus, the believer will find satisfaction for the soul. The Bible says He is bread to the hungry and He is water to the thirsty. The Bible says all those that come to Him, He is all that is needed to be satisfied. Listen to this. John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Any questions? I want you to notice next its schedule on the ark. Genesis chapter 8 verse 4 tells us this. We explained this last week, that the ark came to rest on the 17th day of the 7th month of the Hebrew calendar. The 7th month is when Passover takes place. Jesus died as they were offering the Passover on the 14th day of the month on Calvary. And I showed you this last year. That means that He raised from the dead 3 days later on the 17th day of the month. The ark rested in the top on the mountains of Ararat on the exact same day that Jesus would have raised from the dead. What a picture. You can't tell me it's not connected. The ark is a picture. I want you to notice also its supply. Noah's name, by the way, means rest. When Noah entered the ark, he found rest. He found safety. He found salvation. Listen to me. Being in the ark saved his life. Believing in God saves your life. Now, if you can understand this, the wrath of God is about to be poured out on the world. There is only one place, look at me, on this entire planet, there is only one place that anybody on this entire planet could go to be safe. And that was the ark. If anybody on this entire planet would have gotten to the tallest mountain peak, the water still rose above it. There was not one safe place on this earth except the ark. I'm here to tell you, we do not have an ark, but we do have a Savior. And there is no other place you can go for safety from judgment than Jesus Christ. You can't be a good person. You can't believe in another God. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't purchase it. There's only one place to go, and that's Jesus. You can adopt any religion you choose. That doesn't change the fact. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Well, we've seen obviously the sanctuary surrounding the ark, but I want you to notice secondly the sovereignty surrounding the ark. What is sovereignty, preacher? It means that the ark is not just a picture of the salvation that God provides. The ark is also a picture of the sovereignty that God possesses. In other words, sovereignty means that God is in control. We're not. He is. Everything about the ark shows that He was in control. Dear friend, I want you to know something. He is in control in your life. You can fight Him all you want to. You can go your own route all you want to, but it is one fight you will not win. because the Bible teaches that God is sovereign. Say, preacher, how is this a picture? Look at Genesis chapter 7, verse 1 again. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark." The Lord said to Noah. That means, first off, the ark was not Noah's idea. It was God's idea. He was in control from the start. Noah wouldn't even know that judgment was coming. Noah would not even know that rain was going to fall. Noah would not even know that floods were going to cover the entire earth. He had no idea of anything that was coming. God's the one that told him to build the ark. Amen. Noah doesn't get any credit for anything except obeying. This was God's idea. Let me tell you this. I got so excited, I had to tell a few people about it this past week. In all the directions as Noah built the ark, and we gave you all the dimensions, we told you the shape and all these different things, but guess what? God gave directions for this ark, and he gave directions very interesting. Do you know that the ark was never made to sail? It was only made to float. God never told Noah to build anything of a sail, and he never told Noah to build anything of a rudder. Do you know, once they got on that ark, they had no control of where that boat went. They couldn't steer it. They couldn't sail it. They couldn't do anything. God never gave directions for sails. He never gave directions for rudders. Why? Because it wasn't made to sail. It was made to float. If it was made to sail, somebody inside of it would have to control it. It was made to float so that God could control it. Dear friend, when you got saved, he's in control. Quit trying to control it. Amen. That is really good. Amen. Dear friend, you're trying to control everything in your life, and when you got saved, you were supposed to give up that control. You just got in Christ. He sealed the door. He pitched it all around. You've been sealed under the day of redemption. You just sit back and let God take you where he wants you to go. Because when it's all done, you're going to be safe. Amen. Do you know, listen, I want you to get this. If God had not spoken to Noah, he would have died in the flood too. Now listen to me. Genesis 6:8 says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now listen to me. Because of his sins, do you know that Noah deserved to die too? Do you know because of their sins, Noah's family deserved to die too? But let me tell you what Noah got when he got grace, when he received grace in the eyes of the Lord. Listen to me. Were it not for the grace of God, Noah would have never known about the flood. Noah would have never known that judgment was coming. Noah would have never known that water was about to come. Look at me, dear friend. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you would have no idea that hell exists. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you would have no idea that your sins were sending you to a Christless eternity of hell. Just the fact that you're here this morning and you have found out that Jesus died for your sins, that you can go to heaven when you die, that's the grace of God. Just the fact that you and I even have a knowledge of hell and heaven, that was God's grace that gave that to us. Dear friend, God's been so good to us to just educate us about this. Just the fact that we know about heaven. Just the fact that we know, nobody would have even, listen, God could have just wiped him out with the flood, started over if he wanted to, or not done anything. But because Noah found grace, God told him all that. And dear friend, you and I deserve just to be wiped off this earth. But it's God's grace that gives us the knowledge that it takes to put our faith in him to be saved. Grace. Listen to me, dear friend. If you've been saved today, if you're here this morning and you're saved and you know it, it is only because God extended grace to you. When you came to Jesus, his grace, his mercy, and his love drew you to himself. You are saved because God looked beyond your dead, darkened, deceived, doomed life. And he looked beyond that and he showed grace to you to even give you the chance. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That means this. You didn't have what it took to get saved. You didn't even have what it took to understand getting saved. The fact that when you heard the gospel, you were even able to understand the gospel, that was God's grace that did that. God's grace gave it to you, and the Bible says when you're unsaved, we can't understand spiritual things. So when you were unsaved and you heard the gospel, that was God's grace. And then when your mind was able to process the gospel, that was God's grace. And then when you looked and you prayed and you said, Jesus, would you come into my heart and save me, when he quickened your soul, that was his grace. It's all grace. Well, I'm going to have to stop. I'm just going to have a heart attack this morning. Third, I want you to notice the security surrounding the ark. Not just the sanctuary and not just, obviously, the sovereignty. Dear friend, God's in control. His grace is evident everywhere we look. But I want you to notice, thirdly, the security surrounding the ark. I love this. When God called in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 7, Noah heeded the Lord's verse. The Lord's voice. Listen to me. When he entered the ark, he found safety and security. They were on the ark 1 year, 1 month, and 27 days. The Bible says that the highest mountain on the earth at that time, the Bible says that the highest mountain was covered by 15 cubits of water. This 15 cubits is half the height of the ark. And the Bible says that less than half the height of the ark would have been below water. Listen to me. So that means this, that because of the exact measurements, God put the water just high enough that everything was covered, but that the ark was never scraped even the top of a mountain. The ark was built that, listen to me, with the highest mountain, the water came high enough over the highest mountain that if the ark floated over it, it wouldn't even scrape the bottom. God didn't put it any higher than he had to, but he put it high enough to keep him safe. You talk about security. Let me tell you something even better than that. The Bible says when it came time for the floods that God himself shut him in. Okay, you say, preacher, why is that so exciting? Look at verse 1 of chapter 7. This is the best part of the whole thing. And the Lord said unto Noah, go thou and all thy house into the ark. Is that what it says? If that's what it says, you got the wrong Bible. What does it say? Come. Did you get that? That means God wasn't on the outside of the ark, looking in, saying, go ahead and get to safety. He was already on the inside of the ark. And he said, come on in to safety. Let me tell you how safe they were. If that ark had gone down, God would have gone down. If they had died, God would have died. He was with them. They were with him. They were in the ark. They were as safe as God was. And I'm here to tell you, you and I, when we get saved, we're in Christ. As long as Christ is okay, we're okay. That's as secure as you can get. Colossians 3:3 says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That means that Christ is hid in God, and we are hid in Christ. We have double protection. You think your gun safe is secure? We're secure. God did not say, come into the, God said, come into the ark, not go into the ark. He did not say, go into the ark and I'll be watching you. He said, come into the ark and I'll be with you. There's a big difference. I'm going to show you some things in chapter 8 in a little bit. maybe next week that I really excited me. Listen to me, I want to say this when we're talking about the security of the ark, and I'm going to close with this, our time's gone. But listen to me. I'm sure the trip was rough. I'm sure it was not a smooth voyage on that ark. Look at me. There was a whole bunch of animals, and a whole bunch of animals are going to use the bathroom. And there's 8 human beings that have to use the bathroom. And I'm sure it was a rough storm from what the Bible says. Look at me. I'm sure it was a rough trip sometimes. I'm sure it was a stinky trip sometimes. I'm sure it was uncomfortable at times. But now listen to me. I'm sure that there could have even been some that got a little bit of seasick here and there on this voyage that God had put them on. But you listen to me. God never promised them a smooth voyage. He promised them a safe landing. And when you got saved and you put your faith and trust in Christ, He did not promise you a smooth voyage. But He did promise you, when you put your faith in Christ, a safe landing. Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your goodness to us. Lord, I think of that song I used to sing as a kid, "One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you?" Dear friend, this morning you've got to determine, just like in Noah's day, are you inside of the ark this morning, or are you on the outside looking in? Have you already put your faith and trust in Christ? Are you safe and secure in the ark of Christ, or are you on the outside still skeptical? Dear friend, I'm here to tell you, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you ought to find you an altar this morning and just thank God for everything He's done and given you. The grace that He displayed to even give you the chance to be saved, let alone serve Him with your life. Dear friend, if you don't know for sure, this would be the perfect day to get this settled.